Seat. Okay, Scott.
Am I on?
Yes! My bag of tricks down. Okay. Can we have our second reading, please? So, as we prepare ourselves for this season of Lent, we're going to think a tiny bit about self-control. So as the words say on the screen, from 2 Timothy verses 1 to 7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but he gives us power, love, and self-discipline," or self-control, if you will. So what does that mean for us as we enter this Easter season? What's self-control, self-discipline? It's an easy word to say. Maybe it's more difficult to carry out. So I wonder if you can help me. As ever when I talk, there's going to be a bit of audience participation. The first bit's really easy, though. All you've got to do is, in a second, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and then I'm going to read some words. And if you answer yes to the questions, you just sit down. If they don't apply to you, you stay standing up. And at the end, we'll get a gauge of how much discipline we've got in the room, how self-controlled we are. Have I explained that well enough? Okay, are you ready? So, everybody, to your feet. So, the first question. If you answer yes to this, if this applies to you, just take a seat. If I have a plan to do some physical exercise, this sometimes doesn't happen because I choose something more enjoyable instead. If that's you, or a few people straight away... Down at the first hurdle. Okay. I love the honesty, by the way. 10 out of 10 for honesty. Number two. If something makes me angry, I can sometimes have an emotional outburst and say something unkind or that I don't really mean. I've got to say, I'd have been sat down on question one. I'm very impressed with these people still standing. Question number three. When I'm eating at the table, instead of paying full attention, sometimes I get distracted by my phone or tablet. Got to say, there are some very, very, very disciplined people in this room. I don't know if you caught that. That was weird. Too old to have a cell phone. Again, 10 out of 10 for honesty. Number four. When I make a plan to stop watching TV or playing on a game, sometimes I get sucked into watching another episode or playing for longer than I intended. Oh, I tell you what, pay attention to these people in the room. These are the world changers. And finally, I often interrupt people while they are speaking. Can we please have a round of applause? We've got four incredibly self-controlled people. Take a seat. Now, there's a reason that we're not all still standing, isn't there? It's really tricky to exercise self-control. Actually, it's really easy to say, I'm just going to play another 5 minutes of the game because I'm really enjoying it, thanks. Or Netflix just rolls on, doesn't it? You don't even have to press the button. Netflix just plays the next one for you. You started intending to watch one, and by the time you go to bed at 2 o'clock, you've watched three. Ugh! Nightmare. We want to do exercise. We want to do our study, we want to do our homework, but it just feels better to doom scroll on social media. I'll just do another 10 minutes on Facebook or Insta or Twitter or whatever you cool kids do these days. It's really easy to go, I'm going to focus on the here and now instead of what comes a bit further down the line. So how can we change that? How can we develop self-control, self-discipline? So the first thing we can do is to change our focus. So instead of thinking about the here and now, I'm going to think about tomorrow or next week or a year down the line. And actually, research shows that if we put ourselves in the vision of tomorrow or next week or the year down the line, then we're much more likely to be motivated by that. So instead of thinking, oh, but that second piece of chocolate is just so tempting, I think, oh, what might that do for my organs? In a year's time, what's going to be lining my arteries? Put myself in those shoes. Or instead of thinking, I'm just going to spend another hour watching TV, I'm not going to go for a run, be thinking, what will that mean I look like in a year's time? Will I be a bit podgier? Will I feel a bit less energetic? Instead of scrolling social media, should I just get my homework done so that tomorrow, when I'm in lessons, I don't have that embarrassment of, they're asking for homework, quick duck. They might not notice that I'm here. Yeah? Put yourself in those shoes. So we need to change our perspective from the now till the not yet. So that's the first thing we can do. We can change our perspective. The second thing we can do is we can grow our discipline muscle. Now, I need a volunteer to help me with the next bit. I need a volunteer. Is anyone going to be brave and we've got a few. I should probably say that if you volunteer, you've got to be all right with torture. Okay, Josh, yeah, up you come, kid. Give him a round of applause. Take a seat, big guy.
Please don't drop me.
Hold that.
Okay.
For everybody out there, just in case they didn't catch it first time, what's your name?
Josh.
How old are you, Josh?
2.
How old are you, Josh?
11.
11. Okay, so do we think Josh has got some decent self-control at 11? Okay, Josh, are you ready?
Yeah.
We're going to do an experiment. Hold on. Do you like Easter eggs?
Yes, very much.
That was the second condition. I maybe should have said that before he came up. If you like chocolate, you might like this experiment. Maybe not. So this is an Easter egg.
Oh.
How much do you like Easter eggs on a scale of 1 to 10?
11.
11. It's the kind of answer I was hoping for. So, Easter egg. Josh. Just hear the full sentence before you wolf it down, all right? You can choose to eat that straight away, or you can wait till I've finished talking, and you'll get a second one.
I have a second one.
Okay. Very good. Do we think he's going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. I think we might need to... Can I have a second volunteer, please? A second volunteer. Oh, there were plenty of volunteers that time. Have a seat, big guy. Have a seat. For the sake of those who don't know you, what's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb? Caleb, are you honest? I tell you what, this is incredible. I've never met such an honest church. No, I'm not very honest, he says. Okay, hold that. Your job, Caleb, is to watch him, because I'm going to be talking, and for 5 minutes, you've got to make sure, if he eats it, when I come back to you, you've got to tell me the truth, okay? No, I don't want any of this kind of teamwork, plea bargain, go on, let me eat it, and just tell him I've not. You've got to be, yeah, can you manage that?
Yeah.
You've not got to eat it. You can eat it, but that means you only get one. If you don't eat it, you'll get a second one as well. Okay? Do you understand what we're doing? No, you know what we're doing. Okay. Now, this might ring a bell. You might have seen this kind of thing before. There was a very famous researcher called Walter Michel. Anyone heard of that guy? Walter the Marshmallow Man, you might have heard him called. And what this guy did in 1972, he took all these young children, 4 and 5 years old, and he put a marshmallow in front of them. And he said, if you eat that, it's okay. But if you don't eat it until I come back, you get a second one. It's a bit similar to this. You don't eat it, you get a second one. What's really interesting is that the young people, 4 and 5 years old, the young people that didn't eat it straight away, the ones that had a bit of self-control and discipline, when they studied these guys 20, 30, 40 years on, do you know what they found? Those people that had self-control for not eating the marshmallow were really good at disciplining themselves for study. They tended to do better in test scores. They tended to have higher paid jobs. And currently, up to 2015, which was the last time they wrote about this, they think those people are going to live longer, healthier lives, just from being self-controlled, having self-discipline. Really interesting, that, isn't it? Now, I wonder if you can join with me. Put your thumbs on your temple and put your fingers in the middle of your forehead. Now, if you were to draw a line to connect these parts of your brain, so between your thumbs and fingers at the midpoint, you'd get to a thing called the ACC. I don't expect you to remember the long name. It's called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. Didn't think I was coming to a science lecture. And what God has done, it's amazing the way God's designed us. What God has done is he's made this part of our brain that's responsible for self-control. And what the research shows is that those of us that practice self-control, self-discipline, this bit of our brain, the ACC, the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, actually gets bigger. Has anyone seen the Netflix documentary, Live to 100, Secret of the Blue Zones? Anyone seen that? There's one geek, my wife. Dead briefly, this guy goes and visits all the places in the world where they've got more 100-year-olds than anywhere else. He must be tempted. Should we make it a bit more difficult? I think this is too easy for you. I'm gonna open it up a bit. Just gonna leave that there, Josh. It was too easy at that point, so now there's some real temptation. Okay. He visits these parts of the world, and all of these people that live to 100 in big, big populations, every single population has got a culture whereby in retirement age, at old age, they learn new skills. So it might be a new language. It might be taking up new hobbies. It might be taking up a physical activity that they've not done. And what this guy discovered is these populations have all got a really big ACC, anterior mid-cingulate cortex. So we, all of us, can practice. We can grow this discipline muscle. Now, what might that look like? It might look like, instead of eating your pudding straight away, maybe you delay it for 1 minute. I'm not going to eat my pudding yet. I'm really tempted, but I'm going to delay it for 1 minute. And you might sit there and think, as if that's going to make a difference to my life achievement, to how long I live. But the research suggests if you just delay, develop a bit of self-discipline. Maybe instead of doing the bare minimum on your homework where your teacher says, you've got to do 5 questions and bring the answers in tomorrow, could you do 6 questions? Instead of just doing the 5, could you do the 6th one as well? To develop that set, is that a no? No. Although you've not eaten the sweets yet. Has he eaten it yet? Nothing. Oh. So maybe we could do that. Maybe we could test ourselves. Maybe, if you're really good at sport, maybe instead of running for 30 minutes, maybe you can run for 31 minutes. Has anyone heard of the 1% rule? 1%, if you do something 1% more or 1% better every day, by the end of the year, it's transformative. So we can practice this self-control. So we can change our focus from the short term to the medium long term. We can practice self-control. But the third thing and the final thing is that we can ask God for help. So you might know, oh, he's tempted, look at him. Is it, just have a sniff of it, Josh. Does that smell all right? Are you all right?
He's all right.
We can ask God for help. So you might know that when Jesus was in the run-up to Easter, that Jesus was very, very, very low at times. He was very sad because of what he was going to have to do. And the Bible tells us in Luke that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was so struggling with what he had to do in the coming days that he started to sweat blood. It's called hematohidrosis. He was so worried and so stressed about what was coming, he started to sweat blood. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can forget that Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. Now, why am I telling you this? Because when we pray to God to ask for his help, we sometimes forget that Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father, also praying for us. And this isn't Jesus, this random guy that doesn't know what it's like to suffer or struggle with self-discipline. This is Jesus that paid the ultimate price on the cross for you and me. So you might have heard that phrase, wisdom is making choices today that we're thankful for tomorrow. But what Jesus did for us was he made a choice on that day that has had implications for every single one of us for 1,000 tomorrows. So Jesus submitted himself to death on the cross so that we could reap the reward for 1,000 tomorrows. Isn't that great? Amen. Okay, now, oh, he was so close. He was tempted. You've not, has he eaten any, Caleb?
No.
Are you sure?
He's touched the wrapper.
But you didn't eat it. Please can we have a round of applause for Josh? Mark and Sylv, please promise me you won't eat both of these today. And if Josh, can you promise me that you won't eat both today? Mark, I'm going to give you that one. There you go, mister. Can we have a round of applause for Josh? Caleb, wait there. It feels a little bit harsh to not have you rewarded as well. So take a couple of sweets of your choice. Like, do your swap. Take another one. Treat yourself. Well done. Can we have a round of applause for Caleb? And just before I disappear, I'm going to pray for us. Would that be all right? Can you indulge me for 30 more seconds? Father God, we thank you that even though it's tough sometimes, you can help us by the power of your